Welcome to Reading Through Life. This is a weekly podcast by two best friends who have major dreams of living inside a library.
We fully believe that there's no better company than that towering pile of 73 unread novels that you have sitting on your nightstand.
And if we don't get the quiet time to dive face first into a book each day, we get really stabby.
Each week, you'll find a conversation around books and our very different tastes and styles on what we read. I'm Mia, and I'm more of a classic fantasy type of reader who truly believes that books are precious creatures to cherish.
And I'm Sarah, a rom-com family drama type of reader, and I totally dog-ear my books.
We're so glad you're here today. Let's get into the show. For today's episode, we're bringing back something that we first tried about 20 episodes ago.
That's right. In episode 28, we each assigned a book for the other person to read. Mia assigned me Landline by Rainbow Rowell, and I assigned her The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
We had a lot of fun doing that episode, even though it was a tiny bit nerve-wracking because we weren't really sure how the other person would react to the books. But it ended up being amazing. We both enjoyed the books, and so we decided to do it again.
So what were the parameters of our book assignments? Like, did we have parameters? Like, do I even want to read whatever weird book that you're assigning to me?
This is where the listeners have to imagine an evil laugh. I think our only parameters were that the books had to be around 300-ish pages, and my pick for you has 309 pages. But other than that, we were pretty much free to pick whatever we wanted.
I did not stick to this assignment. My book for you is much longer than that, so I make up my own rules. I'm sorry. All right, hit me with it. What is the book that you have chosen for me to read?
Okay, are you ready?
Maybe.
All right, the book is called The Book Woman of Troublesome Creek by Kim Michelle Richardson.
Yay!
So this is a historical fiction book, which was one of the reasons that I picked it for you, because I know you like historical fiction like I do. But let me tell you about it really quickly. So it takes place in 1936 in Kentucky, and it's about Cussie Carter. She's 19 years old, and she's the last living female of the rare blue people ancestry, which was actually a thing. I looked it up. So this is like rooted in fact. There were rare people with blue skin that lived in Kentucky back in the day. So she's lonely, and then she decides to join the Historical Pack Horse Library Project of Kentucky and become a librarian, oh, which also existed, by the way. And she becomes a librarian, and she's riding across rivers and going up treacherous mountains on her mule to deliver books and other materials to the impoverished hill people of eastern Kentucky. And along the route, which is very dangerous, she confronts those that are suspicious of her blue skin and also of the government's new book program. She befriends fellow Kentuckians, and she's fiercely determined to bring comfort and joy to people who have nothing in the form of literacy and books. So I hope you love it. So there's, you know, obviously the historical fiction portion, and then there's kind of like a female empowerment aspect to the book where she kind of comes into her own, figures out who she is, doesn't let people push her around. I really like that part of it. And then there's kind of like a slight romance angle to the book, which I know you like as well. So I thought... And also you love books about books. So I figured this kind of hits several different categories. So I hope you like it.
I'm excited because I know that you have talked about this book before mm-hmm. and that you kind of raved about it. And so I'm interested. I'm glad that you have assigned this one to me.
Yay. All right. It is your turn. What is my reading assignment?
All right. For you, I have picked The Gracier by Kim Liggett.
Ooh.
Yeah. So this one, no one speaks of the Gracier. It's forbidden. In Garner County, girls are told they have the power to lure grown men from their beds to drive women mad with jealousy. They believe their very skin emits a powerful aphrodisiac, the potent essence of youth, of a girl on the edge of womanhood. That's why they're banished for their 16th year to release their magic into the wild so they can return purified and ready for marriage. But not all of them will make it home alive. 16-year-old Tierney James dreams of a better life, a society that doesn't pit friend against friend or woman against woman. But as her own Gracier draws near, she quickly realizes that it's not just the brutal elements they must face fear. It's not even the poachers in the woods, men who are waiting for a chance to grab one of the girls in order to make a fortune on the black market. Their greatest threat may very well be each other. Dun, dun, dun. I figure any book that when you read the synopsis, you can end with dun, dun, dun is a Mia book.
It's totally, yep.
So the reason I picked this one for you, and I should say this book is like 404 pages, so I did not stick to our parameters. I have no apologies though. But this one, it's kind of a thriller-ish, but it's very dark, which is something that, you know, clearly is right up your alley. It's kind of a little bit like Handmaid's Tale-y, but it's like, I don't know. I just feel like it's super, super dark. And there's also like the women empowerment kind of angle to it. And I just think too, because it's like a little bit dystopian, that it's kind of up your alley. So I don't know. I loved this book. And I remember when I was reading, I was like, I think that Mia would like this book too. So I hope that you do.
Yay. All right, you guys, so we're recording this intro ahead of time, and the next part you hear will be after we've read the books and are ready to share our thoughts.
Do not go anywhere.
Okay, we're back. It's been several weeks later. We've both finished the books that we assigned to each other.
And we will be sharing our honest reviews in these books in just a few minutes.
But before we do that, Sarah, the listeners and I require one thing from you. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. What is it?
What is a bookish goodie that you want to recommend?
Oh, I'm so glad that you asked. So today I want to share with you a bookish Instagram account that I really love, and it's at Daily Ebook Deals. The woman who runs the account is named Erica, and so every day she shares like Kindle deals that are happening. So they're usually deals that are like less than $5. A lot of times they're really popular books that are happening that like are out on Kindle ebook and like on a flash sale. And so she shares these both in her stories, and then she also has a storefront that you can go and check out like all of the books that she recommends. It's just a really great way to find without having to do the digging yourself, because I'm very lazy. So she does it for us. She just finds these really great deals and she puts them on Instagram and she's like, here, go forth and read. And I think that's wonderful. So if you are somebody who loves ebooks and you want to be able to just find really quick Kindle ebook deals, it's definitely worth a follow on Instagram. We'll put a link in the show notes, but it's at Daily Ebook Deals.
Oh, very cool. All right, you? So my bookish goodie is our sad books mug that Sarah just added to our merch store. And it says on it, I like sad books and I cannot lie. And it makes my heart smile because I love sad books and I cannot lie. So if you also love reading sad books that make you cry, this mug is for you. You can use it to catch all of your book tears or, you know, drink coffee or whatever. You can find the link to get the mug in our show notes or visit our website, readingthroughlifepod.com, and then click on merch.
Yeah, we have some really great merch in there, if I do say so myself. Mm-hmm. All right, let's do this. Mia, give me your truth. What did you think about the book I assigned to you, which was The Grace Year by Kim Liggett? Tell me about your rating, what you liked, what you didn't like. Tell me all of the things. I am ready. My heart is prepared.
I hated it.
Just kidding. No.
just kidding. Okay, so my rating. I gave The Grace Year 4 stars.
Okay.
And so overall, I really, really enjoyed it. I can absolutely see why you picked it for me. It definitely has vibes, like you mentioned, of The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood. It also gave me like Mean Girls vibe, but like on steroids, which I also loved. And then one of the reviews I read called it like an all-female version of The Hunger Games, which also feels fitting to me because dystopian stories are like right up my alley. I'm also really fascinated by female friendships and kind of like what happens when women are in these big groups and they start picking on each other and start picking sides and that kind of thing. So that was very cool. So that was my rating, 4 stars. Overall, I loved it. Let me tell you more. Let me tell you why.
Yes, please.
So what I love the most about the story was the main character, Tierney. I loved her moral compass, where she was just, you know, really strong, always advocating for everyone around her, figuring out ways that they could all survive together, even the girls who were just being total brats to her. When one of the girls is being brutally picked on, Tierney stands up for her, befriends her, ignores the gossip and the rumors that people are spreading about her. But as soon as Kirsten, who is the other like strong personality in this survival camp of sorts, she's kind of like a Regina George character, but on steroids. But as soon as Kirsten plays nice with the girl who's being bullied, the girl immediately abandons Tierney and goes right back into the clutches of Kirsten, who made her life miserable. And it's like, why would you do that? It's like her need to belong with the cool girls kind of outweighed everything else, even Tierney's kindness. And that made me sad, but it also felt like it paralleled real life, because we've seen that happen so many times in our lives where girls care more about belonging than they do about the people who've actually shown them kindness. Some other things I loved about the book are the themes. So basically, it's like a coming of age story at its core. These girls are going into the woods as girls, coming out as women who have gone through some serious stuff, like seeing people get maimed and tortured and murdered, and trigger warning, committing suicide. They're facing danger at every turn from the girls within the camp because they can't trust each other. And then there are poachers waiting outside the camp, watching their every move, ready to strike. I also love the theme that basically said that, well, I didn't love it because it was good. I loved it because it was like parallels real life. But the theme that women are basically just like these breeding machines, being grouped their whole lives to become wives and provide children, mainly sons, to the men that they're forced to marry in these arranged marriages, or else they'd be banished into hard manual labor or prostitution. And it was just like a really bleak life for the women in this book. But I think reading it now, at this time, when the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade just happened, and so now women in certain locations in our country don't have a say in what happens to their bodies, that correlation was just like, ugh, like perfect timing. But most of all, I love the theme of standing up for what's right, even if no one else supports you or is willing to join your cause. Tierney really knows that her society is totally effed up. Like, she's like, what? Why are we doing this? She knows there has to be more to life than just waiting to be chosen for marriage from some guy who wants to marry her and have kids, and then starting the grace year cycle over and over again, rinse and repeat. So Tierney is my girl. I think she's amazing. She's a kick butt character. Do you want me to tell you a couple things that I didn't like? But it didn't affect the rating.
I guess. Go ahead.
So there were a couple of things that I didn't like, and I actually don't know if I can share them fully without spoiling anything, so I will try to keep it vague. But one was that Tierney had this opportunity to experience like her life's happiness, and then it didn't work out, and I wanted to cry. And I can't tell you what that was, but blah. And then another was the ending. So that ending, oh my goodness. I think that the author left it up to her imaginations on purpose, because I think it can be interpreted several ways, and it could be a good thing and a bad thing. And I hate that. Like, I want to know definitively, like, what happens. Kim Liggett, if you're listening, I know you're listening. Of course you're listening. Please write a sequel so I know what happened with 100% certainty. I can't stand it. Okay, those are the only two things I didn't like.
Good, I will take that.
So all that being said, I couldn't put the book down because I really wanted to know what would happen. I never felt bored. It was filled with action. I appreciated Tierney's story arc from beginning to end. If you're into dystopian fiction, you will love The Grace Year by Kim Liggett. Sarah, I'm glad you chose it for me. I suppose I will allow you to choose more books for me in the future.
Fair enough.
All right. That was a lot of me talking. Okay, it's your turn. What did you think of the book I assigned you, The Bookwoman of Troublesome Creek by Kim Michelle Richardson? Tell us everything.
Okay, I gave this book 4 stars. So we're right on track here. I think I sent you a message on Boxer and was like, why are you making me read a depressing book in the summer? Other than that, this book was fantastic. So I thought that the story of Cussie Mary, which is just kind of an interesting name, was really, really heartbreaking. Really, I think the entire book was heartbreaking. And hearing about what life was like for people in this time period of the Great Depression, I think it's just always really hard to handle, because you can see how easily it can happen again, which is just kind of scary. I actually didn't know that the Blue People were real. But like you, like, I spent some time looking them up, and like, I'm so intrigued by it now. I read that Benjamin Stacy, who was born in 1975, is the last of the ancestors to have this like blue skin color, which is fascinating because that wasn't that long ago. And so I'm just like, oh, that's all really interesting. So I can definitely tell why you chose this book for me, because like you said, Cussie Mary is just like, she's kind of a badass in her own right. Like, she's not just, you know, she made sure that people had books, which is always great if you ask me, but like, she was always standing up for herself, and she's also like, she was standing up for what she believed to be right, and she was standing up for her father and their lifestyle. And I loved their relationship. I loved the way that he showed his love, even if it wasn't always like in the best of ways, you know, but he thought he was doing what was best for the both of them. And their whole storyline, just the two of them, just, you know, oh, got me right in the feels. This is a time period that I haven't read a whole lot of books about for some reason. The last one I read was The Four Winds by Kristen Hanna. But I think it's just because, like, it's just really heartbreaking to read. And, you know, knowing how often people were dying because they were just starving. And again, it wasn't that long ago. So it's just, I think that that's really hard. There was also a storyline of a young schoolboy named Henry that nearly broke me. I think part of it was because his name was Henry. I was like, no. So, but that was really good. I loved her relationship that she had with like the different townspeople, the people who were able to like overlook her color. I thought that that was really beautiful. I think overall, this is just a book that's probably going to stick with me for a long time, if not the book so much, but her as a character. I thought that she was just a really, really fantastic protagonist. And, you know, just anybody who is going to deliver books and get people to read. Yes, I love you. I think you're wonderful. I would say the only things I didn't really care for, the language, I had a hard time like keeping up with because it was very, it was written with like real authenticity of like how these people would talk during this time in this area. And so I think that that was a little bit hard for me at times. I did do this as a hybrid because I know that you said, didn't you say you had listened to the audio?
I did. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I wanted to experience both just to see like if one was better than the other. I don't know that one was better than the other, but I will say that hearing the language rather than reading the language, I think was helpful. Mm-hmm. And so if you're somebody who also kind of struggles with like when things are very authentic to their time period, I guess, maybe audio is the way to go for that. So I think that was like the one thing that I didn't really care for was just, and it, I know why it was done. I mean, it was very real to the story. It was just, mm-hmm. it was hard for me to like really get immersed in it because I'd kind of be taken out by the language occasionally. So I think that's the only thing that kept it from being 5 stars.
Yay. I was just thinking about how we both inadvertently, without knowing it, recommended books to each other that were similar in the aspect of having these really kick butt female leads who live these like very bleak lives. One's dystopian, obviously, and one's more rooted in history, but like there are some parallels to be drawn there. So we didn't even know it, but we were recommending books that were kind of the same.
I think it's because of what we're living through right now. We're like, we just need some badass female characters, I think.
I love it. All right. So now that we've done this a second time, do you feel like we're more confident in recommending books to each other?
I think so. I feel like I'm getting a better sense of your taste, just not even from recommending books to you, but just from the podcast in general. And so I feel like beforehand, like before we started all of this, I might've been like, maybe she'll like it. And I wouldn't have felt super confident about it. But now I feel like I can probably pick books that you're at least going to rate like maybe even 3.5 and up, I would think. What about you?
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. I think before we started the podcast, I probably would have recommended you like way more weird books, but I know that that's totally not your thing. So now I got kind of like narrowed down my avenues of like, okay, this is a Sarah book. She would definitely like this. So yeah, we're honing our skills.
Yeah. And it's like, I do like some weird books. You just have to rein in which type of weird it is. I don't want your doomsday prepper books. But like these kind of, you know, that's fine. Basically, I think for you, if a book is going to make you cry, I'm like, yes, Mia would like this one.
Yeah, every time. Ooh, also, did you know that there's a sequel to the book that I recommended? It's called The Bookwoman's Daughter by Kim Michelle Richardson.
I only knew this because when I went to borrow the book that you recommended to me from the library, this one came up as well. That's the only reason I saw it. I don't think that I'm going to read it, though.
Yeah, I've heard that most people don't really like it as much as the first book. Like I was reading through all of the reviews and they were like, why is this book a thing?
Yeah.
So maybe skip that one.
I think like at the very end of the one that I read, like I thought it was going to go in a different direction. And had it gone in a different direction, I definitely would have picked that one up because I'd be like, oh my God, I need to know what's going to happen. But it like, she tied it up just enough that I'm like, yeah. I feel happy with where the story ended. So I think I'm good with it. Yeah.
I like it. All right, cool.
All right. So I'm curious, do you have an instance in mind where you recommended a book to somebody and they didn't like it very much?
I'm calling you out.
Oh, no.
So I recommended a book to you, actually, but this was some time ago. This was before we developed our, like, you know, book genres that we both love, really. But it was Columbine by Dave Cullen, which is like this true crime nonfiction book about the school shooting at Columbine, obviously. I thought it was this like amazing read. It's filled with lots of information that weren't covered in the news. So basically the news media, according to this book, would just like, oh my gosh, here's a fact that we heard from someone, we report it. And when it's proven to not be true, they never retracted it. They never drew attention back to it to say that's actually not what happened. So there's so much like in the media that's surrounding Columbine that's actually not really true. So that was fascinating to me. But I remember when you read it, I was like, oh, I love this book. What'd you think? You're like, I'm not into it. I DM'd it. And I was like, oh, daggers. So this was several years ago, obviously. So I don't really remember why, but do you remember why you didn't like it? And also, if you have a time when you recommended a book to someone and they didn't like it as much as you did.
I don't remember this book. I mean, I remember the book, but I don't remember reading this book. And so clearly it made no impressions on me whatsoever. I'm kind of surprised by that because I was fascinated by Columbine stories, which is probably why you recommended it to me. So I have no clue why I didn't like this book. Now I'm really curious though. Like I should go back and like pick it up and maybe I'll flip through a few pages and be like, oh yeah, that's why. Other than that, I have no idea.
You were like, no. I was like, really?
Was this so this must have been pre-podcast, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, way before.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm glad that you know my taste a little better now. So a book that I've recommended to people when they haven't liked it, which is daggers to me, is when people don't like the idea of you. But also, I know logically that is not a book for everybody, especially because there are lots of very sexy scenes. Yeah. And it's just, you know, some people can't get over the whole 20-year age difference in the book. And, you know, but yes, that anytime I recommend that to somebody and they don't like it, I'm just like, please don't tell me. just tell me, yes, Sarah, I read it. And then that's it. End of conversation. I don't need to know anything more.
That's perfect.
All right. How about a time that you recommended a book and somebody really loved it and you can't use me as an example this time?
All right. You're off the hook. So I'm going to shout out one of our listeners, our friend Kimberly, who is over at Coffee Books and Nature on Instagram. She read the book See Jane Snap by Bethany Crandall after I talked about it on episode 37, which was what we read in April 2022. And so we still message each other and joke about this book because it's really kind of dark and depressing. But there's this scene in the middle about throwing oranges in a grocery store parking lot that is just hysterical. And we're both just like, what a weirdo. Like, what is happening in this book? And it's just like this really, really bright spot in a really dark, dark book. But if I can get people to read it just so they can cry laugh at that scene, I will feel like my book recommending life is complete. What about you?
Also the idea of you. So I think I mentioned in like just a previous episode that, you know, I was having all kinds of people message me telling me that they're reading The Idea of You. And I keep getting people who are like, well, that just broke me. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Welcome to the club. I'm so happy for you. So that one. But then another more specific one I can think about is I recommended The Story Life of AJ Fickrey to my mom. And she loves it. She loved that book. It's such a good book. Everybody should read that book, I think. But yeah, that was one that she really read recently. And then I've been recommending books and I've basically been donating out my own library to my girlfriends recently. And they keep coming back and loving the books too. And it's just like, it's so much fun when you recommend a book to somebody and they love it.
Yeah, that's a great feeling.
It really is. All right. So I think that wraps things up for this episode. What do you think? Should we try a buddy read next time where we both read the same book and talk about it?
Absolutely. I think the listeners will enjoy seeing just how differently we react to the same book.
Maybe we should have them pick a book for us and we can read it. Ooh, that's a good idea. Maybe we'll put that in our patron book. Our patrons can pick our book for us, I think.
Like
it. Yeah. All right. So maybe that will be coming in a future episode for you. But until then, we invite you to join us on Patreon for just $5 per month to get access to our private Facebook group, as well as listen to bonus episodes. And you can check out bonus resources like our master book list.
And you can also come chat with us on Instagram at Reading Through Life Pod. We want to know, what have you recently recommended to others? Tell us all the details.
Until next time, book nerds, happy reading. Thanks for checking out this episode of the podcast. And now is the time we ask you for a super quick favor.
Will you take a screenshot now, like right now, of this episode and share it with a friend or on social media? We can't begin to explain how much your shares help us find other book nerds.
Plus, isn't life just better with more book friends in your life?
We're sending you virtual hugs and 5-star book vibes.
Talk to you soon.